Well, you can turn in your Bibles over to Matthew 27. We are going to go there. We'll start in Matthew. I'm really only going to stay in Matthew and John. And I will give you some words of Paul in 1 Corinthians later. But right now, just go ahead and go to Matthew. Has anyone in here ever doubted the resurrection or doubted the word? Is this really the word of God? What was this all about? You say, well, I haven't. Well, you're probably not even saved if you haven't. Because the devil's going to come and make sure that he puts a question. You can't get it in the heart. He'll make sure he tries to question your mind. Now, if we could go back in time a little bit, what is it that you would like to see about Jesus? Some of you might say, well, man, I'd like to be there when he was born. I would like to be there at his birth. Others say, well, I just would have liked to follow him around and see what he did and be a part of the crowd and be watch him feed all those 5,000 people or be on Peter's little boat with him in the storm. Some may say, well, I'd rather have been at the crucifixion. Well, not me. I couldn't take that. Wouldn't want to be at the crucifixion. But I think, as for me, and probably some of you, I'll agree with Paul. Paul said, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. That's where I would have liked to have been. I would like to, if I could go back, be there at that tomb that day he came out of the grave. Now, one of the men said, do you want us to bring in the cross this morning? And I said, no, today's all about resurrection. Friday was all about the cross. Today's about the resurrection. And so that's where we are going to go today. So I want to give you some signs of the resurrection. I'm going to produce some proof today that he was really resurrected, not only in the spirit, but in his body. His body came up out of the grave. So let me prove that to you. And I'll show you these seven signs. I don't know if I counted them, but you can count them maybe as we go. You'll see them written down. And this is probably, well, hi, Cheryl. Good to see you. And Desi, you guys, God bless you. Good to see you doing well, Cheryl. This is probably my 33rd, 34th, 35th Easter message. And all week long, I've been reading the Easter portion of Scripture out of Matthew and John and Luke. I love his writings. You look at the Gospels, and they all say different things, but it's basically all the same. I've said to many, if you were preaching the Easter message, what would you say? Oh, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Well, I know. But we better make this live to you, because you've got more to do than just come here and hear what somebody thinks. But let's take a look at the word. And as I read it over and over, I thought, surely, Lord, you'll bring this together in a few minutes. Maybe at the end of the week, maybe just before service. I don't know. I can remember many of the messages I brought. And I remember one year I talked about him rolling away the stone and how he could roll all of our stones away. Oh, I've featured Mary Magdalene and I've featured Peter and feature Jesus, and oh, there's just so many things that you can grab out of it. But I want to show you what the Holy Spirit would have us know this morning. Would you look with me at Matthew chapter 27? Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start at verse 62. And I don't know if you were listening last week. I hope you were. But last week, when we went over to the book of Acts, we saw the Pharisees and the captain of the temple, and we saw the chief priest, and they were saying, we do not want you to preach anymore in Jesus' name. And they said, who healed that man, and by what power did you do that? And they said, we did it by the power of the one you crucified, Peter said. And they said, well, don't do that anymore. And the Bible said, you and I read it, they took them all into custody. Now, I want to say, those people are at it again. They're at it again this morning. So let me take you from the book of Acts. Let's run over here to Matthew and see what he says. And They heard Jesus. Now, they wanted to act like he was a nobody and a nothing. But let me tell you something. The people you work with and the people that want to act like Jesus is a nobody, and because you serve him, you are too. But can I tell you, they know better than that. Now, let me give you that proof. All right. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. I'm going to read about five or six verses. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priest, there he is, and the Pharisees, another word for Pharisee is hypocrite. A religious hypocrite, one who acts and can talk the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. Well, I'll just go on now. So the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, listen to this, listen. Sir, we remember while he... capital H, Jesus, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last deception would be worse than the first one. Pilate said to them, well, you have a guard, so go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went, and they made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now, sir, we remember what he said. He said he was going to rise, but we think that, you know, his disciples may come and steal him away. So if that should happen, then that would be worse than the other. What was the other? Him healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding, you know. It'd be worse than that if he disappeared and then they said he rose from the dead. Well, that's not going to work. So Pilate said, well, you've got the guard. A guard, in this day, when you look at it in the commentary, a guard with 16 soldiers. And so when they wanted a really tight guard, they would take these 16 soldiers, and in this case, they would put four soldiers, and they did kind of a semicircle like this, and they stood in front of the tomb where the stone was, and they just kind of guarded with four guards there. And then they had four that went out to where they could make sure nobody was coming in. They put four more in the front. Four more on the side and four on that side. So everything was guarded and protected. So they had 16 guards. Now remember that. 16 on the guard. And he says, you know how to do it. You've got the guard. You go your way and you make it as secure as you know how. And so they went and they even sealed. Listen, they sealed the stone with wax. Now after this wax was sealed, Pilate, or the king of the day, whoever the most authoritative person was then, took their signet ring, and it had his signet in it of all power and authority, and he would stick the ring into the wax like that, and then that would mean when that seal was on there, whoever broke that seal is worthy of death. You are sentenced to death if you should break that seal. Well, we got to go a little farther. And on the third day, you know, that third day changed everything. I mean, everything in the world changed from B.C. to A.D. That morning, it seemed to be, it was so big at the tomb, but it was bigger than the world. It changed time. From B.C. to A.D., everything changed. And now, let me go a little farther now. Okay, so what's the first proof? Number one, the guards. Okay, take a look at this. In Matthew 28, let me read. Am I getting ahead of myself? Yeah, Matthew 28, 1 through 10. I'm going to read a few scriptures. I told you I have to read it. I don't want to just voice it. Verse 28. Now, after the Sabbath, Saturday, the first day of the week, Sunday, began to dawn. Now, that's why you and I have church on Sunday, because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Now, the seventh day, Adventist, The people that have church on the seventh day, the law carried the seventh day, but they were still before Christ. Now we're after Christ, and so he rose on the third day, on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. So that's why we bless him on the first day of the week. And we come together as the body. We assemble together to worship him and declare ourselves Christians, as they were called in Antioch. All right. Now, after the Sabbath, the first day of the week, it began to dawn, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, it was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and, look, rolled back the stone from the door, and what else? Sat on it. I love these angels. They just hang out. They're just way too cool. Tell you more about the stone in a minute. But his countenance was like lightning, this angel, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. But he's not here. He is risen, as he said, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold," the angel says, "behold, I told you. I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, by the way, himself. He met them and said, "Rejoice. Be happy. Have a party. Praise me. Rejoice." And they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus says, "Oh, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren, go to Galilee, and they will see me." Don't be afraid. I mean, no, rejoice. It's a happy day. Y'all better help me with this. This is a powerful message. Don't act like you've heard it 100 times. All right. Just wanted to get that off my chest. All right. Oh, God. This just gets so good, I'm telling you. And remember, they said, "Remember." And now, where are these guys? One of the first proofs, there's no guards. The guards are where? They're laying on the ground like dead men. Good word, Paulette. So they're laying there like dead men. There's no guards. So that's a pretty good proof right there. Now, watch this. You got to see it. Verse 11. Get it up, Kathy, so they can see this. Now, I know you are, Marty. I love that. And now while they were going, behold, some of the guard, all 16 of them, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. What things? Oh, Jesus just rose from the dead. And the stone was rolled away. And we wound up on our faces in the dirt. So they told these Pharisees, these religious hypocrites, and the chief scribes, and the captain of the temple, told them all those things. Verse 12. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave them a large sum of money. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Now look, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and we'll make you secure. We'll protect you. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. So they took the money and they did as they were instructed. And say this, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, I'm telling you, we were there. And many of the Jews still believe that story. They paid those guys off to tell them that while we slept, the disciples came and stole the bodies. Now, number one, do you think that these guards would have slept with Pilate in charge? And if they were asleep, then how did they see the disciples come and steal the body? See, one lie will make a fool out of you. I mean, how can they be that dumb and still breathe? While we slept, the disciples came. Well, if you were asleep, how'd you know the disciples came and took the body. So some of the Jews still believe that. Verse 16 is very hurtful, though, look. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. See, he appoints places for you and I to be when we're Christians. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But look at those next three words. But some doubted. Doesn't that just hurt your heart? They saw him. They've got a report. And yet some doubted that he was alive. They just couldn't believe it. And Jesus escaped right out from under their nose. Right in front of them. And so the second thing I want to say is that the seal was broken. Now, if the seal, number two, the seal was broken. And if the seal was broken, somebody was going to be under a sentence of death. We don't see that either. And yet, why are they securing this lie? And how can the people believe that lie when the stone is moved? Now, the third thing I want to get right to is the heavy stone. Now, in Israel, they told us, and you can literally see it, even way back there, if you look at Bible history, you will see that they made a trough in front of the cave. There was a deep trough, and they would get these stones. These stones weighed from 1 to 2 tons. I mean, huge, heavy stones. And you know, they had quite intelligent equipment in those days. And they could, by pulleys, pull that stone over and roll it in that little ditch to get it over flat against the cave door so that they could seal it. And yet nobody was in trouble. And I've got to show you now a little bit farther. Put up John 20 and verse 1. This is another miracle. This is another part of the proof. This is another sign. Not only was the seal broken, not only were there no guards to protect him. Now look at this heavy stone. Now over in Matthew, they just said the angel rolled it away. But that's why you've got to read it in all the Gospels. Because they tell it a little differently and more intense. Maybe because they saw more. But I want to show you John 20 and verse 1. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Okay, she didn't say it was just moved. She said the stone had been taken away. It had been picked up and moved over here. And Matthew says the angel was sitting on it, sitting on top of it. So who lifted this 2-ton stone and moved it away? It was that angel. Now the Bible says we all have angels and they're ministering spirits sent to minister to us. And so this angel picked the stone up, took it away. And as we go over to John 19, just turn back a page. Oh, you're over it, John. Look over at John 19 if you're looking with me. I got to show you this in chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 38. Let's go back to the cross for a minute. I want to talk about the shroud. The shroud was another sign. You know that. Every few years. Is it every 100 years? It's not a few years. Every 100 years they bring the shroud out under glass for people to inspect it and look at it and test it. So they have the shroud. That's a good sign. That's proof. All right. John chapter 19 verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and he took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus at night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. About 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. And they took the body of Jesus and they bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews to bury him. And now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden there was a new tomb, and which no one had ever laid. And so there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So what they did, they got this 100 pounds of aloes and myrrh, and they began to wrap the body of Jesus in these strips of cloth, and they would have to pour the myrrh and the aloe all over these strips and then wrap them in that strip. And they would wrap him. It was like a mummified way of doing it. Like the Egyptians would wrap a mummy. And it would thicken. Every time they put this aloes and myrrh on it, it would thicken. And with that, it hardened. It would get so hard, it was like it became a cocoon. And Jesus here lays his body in that cocoon. And it said that it weighed about 100 pounds. This wasn't just a little thin piece of cloth, as we see on TV. So the spices would harden, and that's what Jesus came right out of like that. Now, last night I saw just a few minutes of a commentary on it, and there were so many places in that shroud that showed where his body was bruised or beaten. I mean, merciless beatings on him. And his nose had been broken, they say, even with the stick. One of the words that were used was, they gave him blows. And when you examine that word in the Greek, it means a blow to the body with a stick. And they had broken his nose across here. They said they could tell he was beaten with a stick across the face. Now, but I want to show you what Peter and John saw after this mummified body is laying there. But on the next morning, the first day of the week, let me take you there. Let's go now and see the empty tomb. So chapter 20, I think we've got to go down to chapter 20. Go down to verse 4. John 20, verse 4. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter, that was John, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looked in, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, yet didn't go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went inside the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place all by itself. Up at the head, there was this little napkin that had been over his face. And the cloth over here, verse 8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. That's proof. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he would rise again from the dead. With him 3.5 years, and they didn't know that. And then the disciple went away again to their own homes. They went to their own homes. And they saw the cloth. They saw it all. They believed. And the handkerchief came off his face. Now I'm going to tell you, the mask is getting ready to come off of our faces. In Jesus' name. Now next week, we are going to open up this church. You're going to see Dolores Collins at the front desk. You're going to see the bookstore open. You're going to get a hug. And you're going to take that mask off in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Now, there's some that didn't want to come because we were wearing masks. So they let the world tell them wear a mask. Well, they wore a mask for the world, but not for us. Now, when I open the church and say, take your mask off, they're going to say, I can't come because they're not wearing masks. I don't care. I just don't care. Now, I will say this. If you want to wear the mask, wear the mask. If you want to wear it, wear it. And if you have a stuffy nose or a sore throat or a cold, do not come. But see, you'll get over that in 7 days. So don't use that for 6 months. Okay? Get over that stuffy nose. But if you're sick, don't you bring that in here to us. Now, we want a healthy church and we want a good church. But now be careful, because not everybody's going to want you to hug them yet. And so if they look a little standoffish, don't press them. All right, let's use some good old common sense, all right? We're just going to have church and have a good time. And so if we'll let people decide. They're going to decide. People do what they're going to do. So let's go on. You heard that. So let's go to, let's see, we got 20. I got off there. Let's go to the scars. Let me give you some proof about the scars. The scars, they were total proof. Another sign, number 5. Look at John chapter 20, verse 19. John 20, 19. Then the same day in the evening, after the guy saw the shroud laying there on the tomb, that day, the same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors, remember this, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now, Jesus could come out of the tomb wherever he went. Now, see, on that second day, he was crucified on the first day, and it was just pure sadness and hopelessness and despair. They were saying, we thought he was the one. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to restore the temple in Jerusalem. We thought. And now he's dead. And so total hopelessness, despair, and sadness. Second day, everything's quiet. It's a Sabbath. They couldn't even go down there anyway. So it was just total quietness on the Sabbath. But see, everything turns upside down on the first day of the week. And that's just the way it's supposed to be. And so though everything was quiet on earth and quiet around the tomb, there was somewhere in that time that Jesus went into the depths of the earth. He went into hell and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave back from Satan, and he tore hell up. Hell was having a party, and Jesus walks in. And they're like, you've got to be kidding. We know he's not coming down here to live with us, so what's he doing here? I mean, Jesus just went in and took over. He took the keys. And then what did he do with the keys? He said, here, I give my keys to you. I give you keys to bind, and I give you the keys to loose. I give you the keys to my kingdom, and now you bind and you loose. So now, I know some of you men got a big old pile of keys in your pocket, but you got some other keys too. You need to know about those keys. We'll do some teaching on those. So anyway, if he could walk out of that tomb invisibly, nobody knew he was even out. The stone was still there on top. He didn't need that stone moved to get out. But he just went somewhere. He just went on into hell. But then the stone rolled away. They had to have the stone there to keep the animals out and all these kind of things. But the stone was moved away so that people could walk in and see. More proof. They had to go in and see. Well, so I said all that to say, how hard would it be for him to walk through the walls where the disciples were? It said, you just read it with me. The doors were shut where the disciples were because they were afraid. And Jesus walked in and said, peace be to you, verse 20. And when he had said this, he looked, another proof, verse 20. He showed them his hands and his side where he was stabbed with the arrows. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. As the Father sent me, now I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And so they received the Holy Spirit even before they got to the upper room. He said, now he's with you, but he's going to be in you when they got to the upper room. So the Bible says that these men ran off and became evangelists. But now let me tell you one more thing. I told you this last year, but I'll tell you again because I remember it very well. Last year I talked a little bit about Thomas. Thomas was not in that room with these disciples. I don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't in here. So Thomas said to all the men, he goes, they said, hey, you missed it. You missed it, brother. Jesus came in and you were not here. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. He came right in through the wall. He was here and we saw him and he showed us his scars. And Thomas, you know what he said? He said, I won't believe it unless I see it. I will not believe it. And some people in this earth, they say, I won't believe it unless I see it. We're just showing them right now. Okay, but God's got ways of allowing people to see it. You know that? He has ways of just walking right into the situation and showing them the truth. Verse 24, now Thomas called the twin. One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. And listen, by the way, I won't take time to read all that, but Jesus wasn't even there when that conversation went on. But Jesus knew exactly what had been said. He hears and he sees and he knew what Thomas said. Just like when he knew Sarah laughed that she was going to have a baby. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, no, I know you laughed. And he said, Thomas, I know you said this. So he looked at Thomas. Look at verse 27. It's so sweet. Jesus is a God of mercy and love. He's such a beautiful man. Jesus was beautiful then and he's beautiful now. Verse 27, and then he said to Thomas, hey, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here. And then he said, here, put your hand right here in my side underneath my ribcage. And do not be unbelieving, but believe. Here, you touch them. You touch these. And then verse 28, Thomas answered, said to him, oh, my Lord and my God. In other words, what a fool I've been. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, here's a message to us. Take this home with you. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But I say, blessed are all those. Blessed are all those who have not seen me, and yet they believe. See, church, you believe, but you've never seen him. I've never seen him. And you know who else never seen him? Maybe you don't know this, but Paul had never seen him. Paul had never seen the Lord, but he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament because he preached, hallelujah, the gospel. Well, the scars, he said, touch that you might believe. And then let me just show you the sightings, how he showed himself to so many in 1 Corinthians 15. You want to go over there with me? 1 Corinthians, he starts, listen, get this, I'm closing pretty soon, I mean real quick. Jesus hung around on earth for 40 more days after he was resurrected. Now, if you were treated like Jesus, wouldn't you just want to get out of here? Because he kept saying, the reason I came was to show you my Father. My Father has sent me here. My Father sent me. My Father sent me. And then he said, I'm going back to my Father. So where the Father is, there is Jesus. But he loved these people. He had fed them. He had delivered them from demons. He remembered the leper. He remembered the old guy that was in the tombs and he was possessed. And Jesus remembered Mary Magdalene and all these that he had delivered. And he wanted to see him one more time. He says, you all gather. I'm gonna come up there on the mountain. I'm going to meet with you. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 15. This is Paul's writings. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. Verse 2. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the gospel, folks. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now here we go. Now here's the sixth proof or the sixth sign that the resurrection is real. And verse 5, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then he was seen by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part have remained to the present. But some have fallen asleep. It means some of them died, but they saw him in his resurrected body, by the way, not just by the spirit, but his body, his flesh. They saw his scars. And after that, verse 7, after that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. And then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. I didn't get to walk around with him and the disciples. For I am least of the apostles, for whom I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Well, we'll just stop there. But that just shows you how many people saw him before he left. He hung around 40 days to show himself. Now I'm going to go back over to Matthew 27, verse 50. Some of you may have never heard this. This was about probably 10 years back. I'm telling you, I can remember almost every Christmas sermon, Mother's Day sermon, Father's Day sermon, and Easter sermons, because they get in you as you study them. But these witnesses from the dead, there was already a resurrection of dead bodies. How many of you know that? There was a resurrection. There was a rapture. Look at this. Witnesses from the dead. Very effective. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through 54. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. This is when he was on the cross. And he yielded up his spirit. And can you imagine poor little Mary, about 15, 16 years old. When he died, she was probably 45. She must have looked up there crying and screaming and say, that's my baby. That's my baby. That's my boy. He was so innocent. He was so sweet. He wouldn't harm anyone. My baby. But when Jesus said, it is finished, he became her savior. And he saved her from all of her sins, just like all of the rest. When Jesus died, he died to show us. God let him die to show us he was a human man. And when he rose from the dead, he took him out of the grave just like that to prove that he was God. He was deity and he was all human at the same time. Amen? And then Jesus yielded up his ghost. His spirit, excuse me, and the old King James says ghost. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And look, and the graves. What? The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep always means dead and buried, they were raised. And coming up out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and they appeared to many. Woo! Now, can you imagine your aunts and uncles and parents and husbands and wives and those that were dead? All of a sudden, you're downtown, you're over at Walmart, and here they come walking up to you and say, hey, how you been? You can't even describe that. I said, Lord, I can't preach that. I don't even know how I'm telling you what I'm telling you this morning. This is why I have to keep it out of this word and just let the word tell you. It's too deep. It's just too big. It's just too crazy. That's why I wanted God just give us proof. The graves opened up and many bodies, they came out. And they went in the holy city and they appeared to many. Look at this. And so when the centurion and those Pharisees and the rest saw him, they were guarding Jesus. They saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, and they feared greatly, saying, what? Truly, this was the Son of God. That's who he is. And even the guard said it. The 16 soldiers even said it. They all said it. People walking down the streets. Can I tell you today, church, the world has bought into many lies today. They bought into lies. Many were paid to lie, just like they were paid to lie 2 years ago. I mean, 2,500 years ago. 2,000 years ago. They were paid to lie. Today, many have been paid to lie, and many believe it. But I'm telling you, this same Jesus is about to flip things over. And I still believe the promise of the visions and the dreams. And I still believe that his glory and his power is going to come in, and all men will see him. All men will see his glory. All men will see his power. Church, it's because he lives that we do what we do. It's because he lives we can face our days. Some of you are going through an impossible, incredible time right now. And you feel like there's a stone over your door. When I was building this message last night, I got to those strips of cloth. And I heard your testimony, Debbie, and I heard Rick's testimony, and I heard Art's testimony, and Dee's testimony, and I heard you, Brother Brandon, and all these things. And some of the things that I know that you all gone through, and I've gone through, we've gone through. I thought, dear God, that's those strips of linen cloth that tried to make us a mummy and tried to lock us down. And that old burden weighing about 100 pounds that tried to cocoon us in and lock us in. But because Jesus came out of the cocoon, church, that's how we came out. That's how we're going to stay out. And that's how your children are coming out. So I know by this word I'm bringing you today, this America, a country founded on godly principles and the values that we stand on, it's going to take off all those 2020 grave clothes. All of those wrappings, all of the wrappings, they're going to be done away with and gone. And we will remember them no more. God doesn't like it. He said, let me take away that 100-pound wrap off of you. Every stone rolled away. And I'll say this in closing. It's a big statement today, and it could be pretty dangerous. But there's only one way to God. There's only one. There's not two. There's not three. And I don't care what they say about Allah or the Muslim faith, we are not alike. And don't you let them tell you that we are alike, because we are not. There's only one God the Father. His name is Jehovah. And he had one son. And that one son is the only boy that ever got up out of the grave. Muhammad still lies in the grave. Stand on your feet with me and let's bless the Lord this morning. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's why we have life. And you're the way and the truth. I want you to enjoy that piece of chocolate cross. And I want you to say, Jesus, remember when the angel said, take and eat this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's just symbolic that the Lord is good. I want you to taste it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Jesus, I love you so much, Lord. And Father, we've never seen you in person. Some may have had a vision or a dream and saw you like that. But we've never seen you, but we believe. And you said, blessed are those men who have never seen me, but they believe. Blessed are those women who have never seen me, but they believe me. I love them. Jesus, you poured your love out on us. And blessed are the little children and the teenagers and the young who have never seen me, yet they believe. Brother Lindo, could you guys go back to that very first song you sung this morning? I want you to do that one. No, it's His Body from the Grave. Da, 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 da. Yeah, you've got to see the words to this. I almost came out of my seat, went up, started bringing the word right there. It's so powerful. But let's pray before we do that. Wonderful Jesus. Come on, keep your heads bowed for a minute. Is there anyone in here? You said, Pastor, I heard what you said. But I've been wrapped in grave clothes so long. And I've got that napkin over my face. I just feel like I'm smothering in sin sometimes. I'm just smothering in stuff. Listen, I'm not going to call you up here this morning. But I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I just want to come to Jesus this morning. I need to come to Jesus moment right now. And I want to turn my life over to Him. I don't want to walk one more day without Him in my life. Or I've walked away and I've messed up. I just want to rededicate my life to Him. Is that you? Just lift your hand and let me see it. I'm not going to call you up. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being honest. Anyone else? Pastor, I just want to... There you go. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see you back there. God bless you. Hands are just going up. Come on. Anyone else? Pastor, I want to turn it over to Jesus today. Come on, examine your heart. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. Let's give it up right now. Give it to Jesus. He will take it from your sins. Take it from your life. Pray with me, dear Jesus. Come on, everybody praying out loud. Pray it loudly, church. Come on, pray it with these guys. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I need you. Take these grave clothes off. Take this 100-pound weight off of me. Would you please move these stones out of my heart and out of my mind? Lord, I give my heart to you, my life to you. Come into my heart and help me to serve you all of my days. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sins away. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah. We're going to come to the table of the Lord, and I want you to open your bowels of faith. And when you get that cup, you've already got the cup. Are you ready? You have the cup. I want you to take the bread. And by faith in everything I just told you, all of the proof, all of the signs, the guards were down. And all the guards of hell that tried to guard you from coming closer to Jesus, oh, in the name of Jesus, that they might fall dead and powerless around you. May the chains that try to hold you be bound themselves. And may you be healed by that blood that was shed for you. Jesus, this is your body, and we eat it today in faith and in love, and saying thank you for all you did for us. May something new begin in this house on this Resurrection Sunday. Awaken our bodies. Quicken us now in Jesus' name. Let us eat. And Jesus, we lift up your cup. It is yours. And yet you made it ours. The blood ran out of your head. Lord, for the thoughts, the anxiety, and everything that goes on in our heads, it flowed down over your shoulders and your neck for healing in those areas. And deliverance from leukemia and cancer and any kind of disease that we can mention this morning. To go on down through the body And Lord, remove the cancers. I remove the pain and the anguish in people's bodies right now. Right now, Father, in this room. By proof of the blood of Jesus that is upon us. We've never seen you, Lord, but we believe in your miracle power. Heal someone in their legs and in their back and in their neck and shoulders. The varicose veins in the legs. The knees and a bad heart, clogged arteries, rash, body aches and pains and arthritis, skin diseases, ear problems, inner ear problems, anxiety, go, foot problems, leg problems. Receive your healing by the blood of Jesus. You've never seen him, but he said, I bless you gladly in Jesus' name. Let us partake together. Oh, yes, Lord. Glory to God. Let us sing this song before we go and worship him. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go.
The moon and stars, they went. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen.
Come on, church, look.
His body on the cross. His blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse
broken.
Was broken.
Oh, yes, 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 Lord, we love you.
One final
prayer, yeah.
As heaven looked away, the sun. We sing hallelujah.
Come on, sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Landmark this morning, and God bless our guests that have been with us.